Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Patriot Come Lately Show. This is Stefan, your Patriot Come Lately, the voice of the Second American Revolution. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whenever or wherever you are listening. As someone who came to America to escape from the socialist nightmare, I am using this show to shake America awake. Join me in the next hour for constitutional conservative news and views, as well as the occasional guest. We have to rebuild that shining city on the hill by taking this great country back to the principles set forth by the founders.
And hello, welcome to the Patriot Come Lately. This is Stefan, your Patriot Come Lately. Like the founding fathers of 1776, I'm British by birth, but American by choice. And very glad to be here, hoping to bring some news, views to the conservative world and help us get set up for this final year of Obama until the elections. And yes, we have the countdown. It's a new thing that I'm going to be doing every week. 357 days to the election, so that's less than a year definitely now. We need to keep our momentum. We need to build it up, and I'm going to be talking a lot about that in this show this week. We need to get rid of King Barry, and then it will be 431 days until he vacates the White House. So another tradition that I have that's been going quite a while is to have a quote from that great British statesman, Sir Winston Churchill, and I always like quoting him because actually he was half American, and many people do not realize as great a British person, or that's what he's really famous for, but his mother was actually American, and he had a great affinity, of course, for the United States. And so as this is the 90th episode of the Patriot Come Lately talk show, I'm going to give you a special treat today, and that special treat is going to be three quotes from Churchill, and they all kind of connect with the theme of the day, which is, yes, getting ready for the elections. The first one is, politics is not a game, it is an earnest business. And I think that's a very good one. For too long, we as conservatives have sort of been asleep at the wheel. We've let the progressives take over a lot of things because they've been very serious. They've seen it as an earnest business. They've been working behind the scenes, and not just for federal elections, but local, state, etc., all the key positions, school boards. They know it's an earnest business. We need to wake up and realize that it's an earnest business. The second quote is, let our advanced worrying become advanced thinking and planning. Now, I know a lot of us are worrying and saying, well, you know, can we really beat the Obama juggernaut? He's going to have so much money, close to $1 billion. I think it's going to be a little bit less than he expected, but even so, still tremendous amount of money. He's just going to roll over us. No, he's not. We need to do a lot of advanced thinking and planning. And I'm going to be telling you today about some tools that are out there for candidates and for all of us. And the final quote is, no part of the education of a politician is more indispensable than the fighting of elections. But it isn't just politicians that fight elections. We all have to help along with this. And that's also, as I said, that's part of the theme of this week's show, is really getting involved and what can I do, how can I do it, and what tools are out there. And just to let you know that a lot of the inputs can be based on a recent Tea Party rally that took place in Lake Placid, where your host, yours truly, spoke, and again on the theme of getting ready for the next election. And also last weekend, I attended the Choose Liberty 2012. It was organized by the East Orange Tea Party, and a lot of interesting things from there. So I want to say hi to all the guests in the chat room, as well as Radio Wannabe, who was also at Choose Liberty with me. It was nice to see you there again, Babs. And just a quick reminder to the people who are signed in as guests in the chat room, I believe that Blog Talk Radio will not allow you to type comments and questions if you're a guest. Unfortunately, you need to sign up with Blog Talk Radio, or you can dial in 917-889-9161. And if you have to wait a couple of minutes, please hang on. You'll be able to listen to the show through your telephone while you're on the line. But do press the one button on your phone to let me know that you are ready to speak if you do decide to dial in. Okay, so before we get to the preparations for the elections, of course, we do have some GOP candidates for the presidential level. And, of course, those are perhaps the most critical right now because we're going to have the primaries starting in January. It looks like the first one will be at the very beginning of January in Iowa, I think 3rd of January or something. So that's going to start very early, and of course the main one will be in 357 days. So let's have a quick look. In this last week, there have been two debates, no less. And of course, the first debate had Perry's famous brain freeze, and then the second debate was sort of his recovery and some of the things he did on the talk shows and the TV and going on Letterman, etc. And I think he has sort of recovered. But even so, he is trailing significantly in the polls. Newt has done very well in both of those debates and is slowly climbing to the top. And I think the most recent poll that was published today has really four of them: Romney, Newt, Paul, and Kane, all within striking distance of each other and definitely within the margin of error. So very interesting. So Kane seems to be weathering his problems. Not only did he have the sexual harassment, but he also had an interview with a Iowa newspaper, and he seemed to get a little confused about his answer around Libya. I saw that. I also saw, because it was a little confusing, the video, but if you see the transcript of the video and you look at what he was saying, I don't think he had as much of a brain freeze as Perry did. But what was very clear was that he was trying to get some clarity exactly what had been asked, and maybe that part was a brain freeze, that he wasn't really too sure what had been asked. But he kept going back and perhaps reformulating the question. I have a comment for that. He's obviously doing that because we know that GOP candidates get crucified for any mistake. And if they answer too quickly and just say what's really at the top of their head, then they get crucified for that. So he was obviously trying to clarify things, taking a little bit of time to think about it. He was probably tired because these candidates do have grueling schedules. And so he took some time to think about it. He asked some questions to get some clarification. Maybe those questions themselves weren't so clear, and he gets crucified. So really, looking at it, the mainstream media is going to skewer the GOP candidates, whatever they do. So why do we worry about it? But anyway, so to go back to the debates, question for my listeners. Do these debates have value? There are still a bunch to come. I believe there's about perhaps eight still to come, quite a number. And there are organizations which are trying to perhaps organize some more. Do these debates have value, yes or no? Or, for example, in Iowa, where they say you have to have the personal touch, yet Romney and Kane, who don't really have the organization, haven't been there so much, but have been seen a lot in the debate. Is that going away? And therefore, you know, is that personal touch, the caucuses in Iowa, is that going away? I don't know. What do you think? And then Another question, if you think that that debates do have value, what about the idea of having a single national primary day for both Democrat and Republican and any other political parties that actually do have primaries before they make their presidential candidates known? So maybe just have one day and get it all over with and not have these things where states are trying to leapfrog each other because if you're at the back of the queue, then basically you have little impact on the whole thing. What do you as listeners think? So let me know via the chat room if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio. Dial in 917-889-9161 or send me an email. You can send the email to stefan@patriotcomelately.us and let me know, and I'll bring up your reply, your question, comment, reply in a later show. Anyway, so that's that was the debate, and I want to go back now and talk a little bit more about the Tea Party, the fact that the Tea Party and all the associated groups, 912, DC Works for Us, whatever, they're beginning to stir. I've been complaining that they've perhaps been a little too quiet over the last few months, but I think they're beginning to stir. A couple of weekends ago in Lake Placid, Florida, the Highlands County Tea Party held a rally. I spoke there, and as I said, I was addressing getting ready for the elections, and with your permission, folks, I'm going to play that speech of mine. It's total about 10 minutes, but I'll break it up for you. Hope that you enjoy what went on in Lake Placid at the Highlands County Tea Party rally.
Thank you. Please excuse me if I refer to my written notes now and again, but there's a bloke up in Washington has cornered the market on teleprompters, so I couldn't do anything. As you might guess from my accent, I'm not from around here. About 16 years ago, my family and I came here because we wanted to escape from the nanny state mentality back in Europe. So we came here, and about 5 years ago, I'm proud to say that we were honored to join this country as citizens. And then King Barry started to import Euro-socialism over here. And you can imagine what I thought about that. That's what I wanted to escape. So I was not too happy about that. And as I saw what he was doing, him and everybody around him, saw the magnitude of what he was doing, I decided I had to get up off the couch and do something about it. So I started attending Tea Party rallies, like you guys. And but that wasn't enough. So I decided I need to do more. And I felt, because of my experience, I had to help shake America awake. Because you haven't experienced socialism. Many of you haven't read The Road to Serfdom. And you have little idea of what's in store for you if we let the progressives go down the path that they're taking right now, destroying this country, destroying our constitution. So what else did I do about it? I decided I would start an internet talk radio show, bring news and views and hopefully awareness to people. And I called it the Patriot Come Lately Show. And like the patriots of 1776, I'm British by birth. Think about it, they were too, but I'm American by choice. So by bringing awareness to conservatives, libertarians, constitutionalists, hopefully we can bend the country back the way it should. And if I can catch a couple of independent voters, maybe even a Democrat or two here or there. Look what happened to France, right? Maybe we can, maybe I can contribute a little bit to getting this country back on track. If you're interested, the show is broadcast late Tuesday evenings at the website radio.patriotcomelately.us. If it's too late at night for you, there's also a site where you can listen to recordings. It's called archives.patriotcomelately.us. And by the way, I end those websites with .us rather than .com, because this is America, and I'm a proud of America. One of the things that I wanted to say here today, I think has also been said by some of the other speakers. Thank you for coming out here, because it's important that we, as Tea Party, as conservatives, libertarians, whatever, we need to stand up again and be counted. You will have seen a lot in the news about the Occupy whatever group, and you know, 2 years ago, as a Tea Party, we started getting together, and we got bigger and bigger. And first of all, the progressives, the establishment, political establishment, the elites, they ignored us. They didn't think anything of us. But as we got bigger and bigger, the progressives began to have a fit. And then they started calling us names. We were racist. We were terrorists. We were astroturf. But we still continued to grow. So the lamestream media continues to put us down, but behind the scenes, I believe, the evil empire, led by George Soros and others, was plotting even more. And we're seeing that now, I think, with the Occupy whatever groups. That's part of their plan to bring us down. Look at the news. They say Occupy Wall Street, kind of like the Tea Party. We have Tea Parties in there. They work with don't tread on me flags. But they're not the Tea Party, and we have to stand up and tell them. We're not the Tea Party because we don't trash public and private property. We clean up after our meetings. We don't throw things at the police. Well, maybe just kind words. And we don't riot and get arrested in droves. Our meetings are peaceful and family safe. So we are not the OWS. And the mainstream media are using the OWS to suck away the attention, to take it away from the Tea Party. Makes us look as if we've slunk off into the night. So I'm so happy that you are here today, because we can say we have not slunk away into the night. We are here, and we are not going quietly. And why is that important? Because for every one of you out there, there are 10 who look at us and say, well, if they take the trouble to stand up and do something, there must be something there. And if they don't join us here on the streets, they will join us at the ballot box. And that's where we're going to win. We have to win at the ballot box, the upcoming election and all the subsequent elections as well.
Okay, that's the first part of the speech. I wanted to break it up into a couple of sections. It's time for a break here right now. And another tradition that I have is to play some short texts, short sections from other hosts on the Red State Talk Radio Network, which is one of the networks that this show is rebroadcast on. So lots of other very good conservative hosts on that. It's redstatetalkradio.com. And a couple of the hosts there have provided these. I'll start with one from Freedom's Wings.
The Freedom's Wings Conservative Minute. A couple of weeks ago, Joe Biden said that the private sector was not hurting, that it was the public sector that needed jobs and employment. This week, the White House will announce a release of up to $1 billion to hire and train healthcare workers as part of its We Can't Wait program. The funding will be given to doctors, government organizations, and groups involved with Medicare and Medicaid. Once again, we see our president's solutions to our problems is to expand government, and Marxism continues its march across America.
Listen live to the Freedom Wing Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's time for some common sense. From Central Florida, it's the Freedom's Wing Show, your home for patriotic resistance and the information you need to take action.
Hi, I'm Diane, host of the Freedom's Wing Show. Do you want to be entertained while you're informed? Do you like a little irreverence in your politics? Then join me on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. There's plenty of open lines, and I want to hear from you. Check out the website at freedomswingspolitics.com, and you can find the show at www.blogtalkradio.com/freedomswings.
This is the Patriot Come Lately Show, coming to you on the internet via Blog Talk Radio. Also available via WRS Digital, the Red State Talk Radio Network, at redstatetalkradio.com.
And thank you for staying with me through the break there. And just want to get back and finish off the Highland County Tea Party rally, because the second part of my speech really does talk about how we can get involved and what we should get involved with as people on the ground. Not all of us are cut out to be senators or congressmen, and I have some other ideas. So have a listen to this.
Now, you heard it as well from other speakers. I had it here in my notes. Now that you're here anyway, why not do a little bit more? Being here is good, but why not do a little bit more? We heard about Get Out the Vote activity. Very easy to do, has a tremendous impact. Think about just introducing your friends, your family, your neighbors to books and media. Send them to my show, right? Get them thinking the way we do, have them share our values. Even better, why not run for office yourself? Now, I'm not suggesting that you collect millions of dollars and spend millions of dollars going to Congress or the Senate. Would be nice. But there's so much you can do at the local level. The progressives have taken over our city councils, water, utility, and school boards. All they do is spend, and teach our children revised history, right? We heard about the revised history from France. By taking over, by running for, let's say, a school board position, we can help change that. And if you don't actually want to run, then look around you. There's someone who shares our values in your community. Encourage them. Get them to go for a local position. Very, very important. We have to take our country back, top down, bottom up. With apologies to Van Jones. I'd like to leave you finally with some thoughts about the upcoming elections. We know that the mainstream media is doing their best to sow discord amongst all the candidates. They have a field day when Perry is arguing with whoever, and they just love that. They also are looking for things to make each of those candidates unpalatable to a certain group of our voters. So making you say, oh, I don't really want to vote for that guy because he doesn't think this or he doesn't think that. And they kind of probe and find and look how they tried to trip up Herman Cain. They bring up certain things of Romney. They're trying to make the people stay at home. Don't let them do that. Unfortunately, perfect candidate is unlikely to be out there. And even if you think you have the perfect candidate, I have to be honest, in many cases, they tend to be the ones who are not going to get through the primaries, and possibly not even the general election. So I want you to think about one thing when you go to the ballot boxes as we come up to the elections. Whoever takes over in the White House in 2013, and believe me, if someone doesn't take over, we're done as a country. But whoever takes over in 2013 must first and foremost be a fiscal conservative. because the fabric of our very existence will be destroyed if we don't get our house in order economically. And if that happens, the forces that will take over afterwards will make this administration look like Sunday school, believe me. Read The Road to Serfdom. It will spell the end of any kind of conservatism in this country, possibly forever. So if the nominee that we end up is less pro-life than you would like, or their stance on immigration jars you, or their tax plan is not perfect, don't let that keep you from the ballot box. Think one thing. ABO, anything but Obama. This country can't afford another 4 years of King Barry's policies. Let's start worrying about getting the free market economy working again. And once that's working again, once this country is healthy again, then we can start thinking about all the other issues that are important but will mean nothing if we don't have a good economy. Thank you very much for listening. And remember, more of this at radio.patriotcomlately.us. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen Bartelski.
So I hope you enjoyed that. As you heard, kind of a call to action there for Tea Party and other related groups. And then coincidentally, last weekend, some of the issues that I addressed were addressed at the Choose Liberty 2012 convention that was organized by the East Orange Tea Party. And I have to thank them for an excellent meeting. It was really a very good meeting. I mentioned there about the left actually kind of plotting in back rooms, George Soros, Spooky Dude, and his minions up to stuff. And one of the speakers there, Brandon Darby, used to be part of that and then got reformed, and he told us a lot about it. Very scary. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that, but also lots of other methodologies, so ways of doing things and making sure that we can get more people out to the vote and tools to support that. So that was a great meeting. And let me just run down the list. We had Big Voices Media, which is something being set up by people from the First Coast Tea Party up in Jacksonville, where they're basically setting up a TV channel that will come to you by the internet. Now, those of you that have connected to GBTV and may know that you can use a box called a Roku box that will bring in GBTV if you have that subscription. Well, the First Coast Tea Party is also going to be doing the same with their Big Voices Media. And I'm not going to talk a lot about that, but you can go to Big Voices Media. It's called bvmproject.com and sign up for more information there. I think it's going to get started, they hope, in December, but definitely next year. You'll be able to get lots of good conservative videos, and they'll also be doing audio. There'll be social media capability there. Many people may know that Facebook is run by a very left-wing group, and conservatives are beginning to have a hard time on Facebook, so it might be necessary to find other groups. And I stand corrected. It's not the East Orange Tea Party. We do have a West Orange Tea Party. It's the Eastern Orlando Tea Party. So EO either way, but slightly different words there. My apologies to the group, but still a very good Tea Party and a great meeting. So what else did they have? They had Big Voices Media, Bruce Bilott, the singer of Tea Party songs. I have played his song, Obama, You're Fired, a couple of times on the show, but he also has a new one, which I hope to squeeze in today, and if not, in a future show. The American Majority was there, Ken Mayo, their Florida director. He had a couple of things, What's at Stake, which also kind of ties in a little bit with what I was saying in Lake Placid in terms of the future. If we don't win the next election, then things are going to be very bad for the U.S. And also determining voting goals, which ties in with some other things. And the next topic I'd like to talk about is Liberty Linked, which was presented by Chad Bidinger and Jason Hoyt. Many of you will know Jason Hoyt if you're in the central Florida area. And it's really an approach to getting out the vote, but starting very much earlier than usual. Then there was, of course, the Liberal who saw the light, Brandon Darby. The keynote speaker was Sheriff Joe Arpaio. And then at the end of that, there was a presentation from a company called Political Gravity, who developed a tool for both Tea Party groups, but actually in a way more aimed at candidates and their campaigns, but they are making it available for Tea Party groups. And basically it's a voter tracking tool whereby you can, instead of taking the clipboard and going door to door and collecting information about people, it's done through the computer and it's also done through your smartphone, and you collect the information on the smartphone, it gets immediately uploaded to the central database of the campaign or your group, have all of that information. And it also does interesting things like mapping out precincts and mapping the most effective route to walk or to drive in a precinct when you're going door to door. And having done precinct walking in the 2008 and 2010 elections, in the 2010 election, having done precinct walking, a lot of it, having a tool like that would have been so great, because normally the lists you get are in alphabetical order, and you end up driving every which way, and having something that will map out the best route for you would be a great tool. So let me just, first of all, let me play a little bit from Ken Mayo, who is from the American Majority, and Ken was really talking about this little piece talks about the elitist GOP, because we rant and rave about the Democrats, but the GOP can be very elitist as well.
I know that when I'm on Facebook communicating with progressives, there are people that are reading what I'm saying, and I'm not communicating with that individual that I know is a liberal. And I know this because as I go about and I go all over the state of Florida, I have a lot of Facebook friends, and at times they'll corner me and they'll say, "Hey, Ken, I saw what you said the other day. I saw what you said last month." And I haven't talked to these people in months. In fact, some of them I haven't seen or talked to a year or longer. And I say to them, "Well, why don't you chime in?" "No, I don't do that. I don't want to do that. But I watch what you say." And it makes me realize that if we begin to communicate with people on the left, while we may not reach them with our message, there's people that are friends with them that are watching. And that's what they call these people. They're watchers or they're lurkers. They're reading what it is that we're saying. So communicate with these people, because you have no idea how what you're saying is reaching to them. Now, in that vein, I want to tell you what happened this Wednesday, and it made me know what I wanted to focus in on. This Wednesday, I got in a discussion on Facebook with an individual, and I'm not going to go into all the details of what brought this about, but I want to quote a few things he said, and it's this. He said, "I welcome the absence of the Kane and Perry lemmings. It's nice to see intellect return." I'm assuming he's talking about Gingrich there. "Next goal is to run out the inexperienced and uneducated from politics." He's talking about all of us, because he was addressing it to me personally. And after talking about how he wished we couldn't, well, actually, what he said, after talking about how he wished we couldn't vote, that's what he was wishing, that we actually didn't have a vote. This guy is an elitist. He then ended it with this: "We just keep rallying," and I'll tell you in a minute what he meant by "we." "We just keep rallying around garbage," talking about us. "And if we keep doing that, then we will be dust in the wind." And the reason he used that phrase is I had responded previously to him, who happened to be a friend of mine, and he's in the GOP. And he served in a role, and I won't say which party or which GOP, which county GOP, but he and I have had debates for a long time. And and this one got really nasty between him and I. And he basically does not want right-wing conservatives, evangelical Christians in his party. And we go round and round with this all the time. And I basically said to him, well, let me explain something to you in your elitist attitude. If it were not for the people sitting in this room all over the country right now, he wouldn't have a party. And that's a fact.
And Ken Mayer made a couple of very good points there. First of all, as I said, some of the elitism that still remains in the GOP, but also at the beginning he mentioned that he gets into discussions with liberals on Facebook, not so much that he's trying to turn the liberals, because he knows most of the ones that are really active there you're not going to be able to turn, but he knows there are so many perhaps who are more on the fence who are watching the discussion, and if you can grab one or two of those and convert them, then we've done something good. So I think that's a very good point for all of us to learn. I'm going to play another of the conservative minutes right now. This is from the OK4T channel, and I hope you like this one.
Hello, everyone. Matthew Vermaine here, host of OK4T radio show with this week's conservative minute. Debates. Debates. More debates. And because we're not for sure, some more debates. Is having all these debates really all this important? I don't remember ever in my lifetime there ever being these many debates in a primary season. I need to take out stock and duct tape. Join us this week on OK4T Radio Show live Wednesdays at 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com/OK4T. And rebroadcast on Liberty Bell Radio Thursdays at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and Sundays at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time at libertybellradio.com. Wake up and smell the tea.
And interesting there that Matt actually asked the same question about the number of debates that we're having right now. Is that does that have any value? And just to let you know, these conservative minutes are as much a surprise in terms of topic for you for me as they are for you. I don't vet them beforehand. I just we share them, but I don't listen. I just plug them straight in. And but it seems we all seem to be thinking in the same direction. So. Back to Choose Liberty 2012. That was an excellent excellent kind of fire us up type meeting to get us going into this last year before the elections. And of course, we had that great, powerful, strong sheriff, Sheriff Joe. Now, I have to say, I have to be honest, as a speaker, he's not the best, so I'm not going to play a major clip of him speaking. What I do want to do is, of course, because of his notoriety, we were blessed with a visit from some protesters. There was some discussion whether they're actually Occupy Orlando people or whether they were anti-immigration clampdown type people, so in favor of illegal immigrants or whatever, but obviously progressives. And they did try to disrupt the meeting. And let me just say right up front, of course, I believe that that was totally illegal, totally unconstitutional, because while the Constitution does give us the right to demonstrate freedom of speech, entering basically under false pretenses a private meeting at a private location, that doesn't give you a First Amendment right there. I would have been very happy for them to stand outside our meeting, or even probably the hotel would have liked them to stand outside the hotel and demonstrate there. They would have been very free to do that, but inside it was a private meeting and a private location. So here's a little bit about the introduction of Sheriff Joe and then the demonstrators standing up.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my great honor at this time to introduce to you the toughest sheriff in America, Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
Thank you. wrong, it's the world, not... I forgot to say I was director in Mexico and South America, and Turkey, the Middle East, Texas, Arizona, so I know where the border is. I think. Because nobody asked my advice from the president down to U.S. senators as to what to do at the border. Now, I love the Tea Party. I'm from Massachusetts, and you guys have stolen our tea. Men, you steal the Minutemen, and you steal me. So I don't know about the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It must have something there that's good. I was born and raised in Springfield, Massachusetts, where the basketball was discovered, Hall of Fame. I noticed the president is a big basketball fan, and I noticed they're coming after me, his Justice Department, investigating me. One item is a racial profiling. I remember in Cambridge, Mass., there was a police sergeant and the rest of the black professor, and the president stuck his nose in it, took a lot of heat. Then he invited them both to the White House. That's a beer. So I got some demonstrators.
You noticed there at the end, Sheriff Joe was disappointed because it was actually only three demonstrators. I think there were one or two others that were caught about 5 or 10 minutes later. But he was disappointed. There were only three that were demonstrating because normally he gets hundreds. So it was that was pretty good. And yes, Radio Wannabe reminding me in the chat room, the clapping and chanting was actually the participants in the meeting to overrule the attendees. One other interesting thing about the demonstrators, they had actually been identified at the start, just as Sheriff Joe was being introduced. They had been identified by Brandon Darby, who is this guy who was in the liberal organizers and saw the light and came across to us. He'd actually identified them, and they were being requested to leave when they kind of stood up and started making all the noise, and they were quickly ushered out. I noticed, if looking at some of the other videos that are out there on the web, that the ladies knew him by face and by name, and it kind of, so he definitely has a notoriety in those groups, and it's interesting to see that they know who he is, but of course very dangerous for him. He's a very brave guy. So what I'm going to do actually right now, I think, let me play his little section from his speech, and this one to me is the most scary. And this is talking about the organizers, the progressive organizers getting together and arranging things for the RNC convention, where McCain and Palin were selected to be the candidates for the president and VP slot.
That kind of stuff. But the thing that's really significant was the final investigation I worked on, and it was about the RNCOA. And at the RNCOA,
there was an effort to bomb you. Did you know that?
Did you know that?
How many of y'all realized that, that there were three separate bomb plots discovered at the RCMA that the FBI and other law enforcement agencies stopped? How many of you know that?
Tell them what that is, to be honest with you.
Oh, the Republican National Convention. It was in St. Paul, Minnesota. And how many of y'all are aware that you're about to have the Republican National Convention here? Yes. So, I was called and they said, Brandon, you need a break. And I said, I do need a break. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, we got something easy for you. Would you go and check this out for us? There's a group of anarchists that are traveling around. We have reports that they're talking about violating the rights of other Americans and not letting them have their assembly at the Republican National Convention, and that they're making some kind of serious threats. Would you go check it out and see if that's really happening? You know, and I said, sure. So I went to this bookstore, and lo and behold, a couple of anarchists had come from Minneapolis, which is right next to St. Paul in Minnesota, and they had a laptop, and they were showing videos at this bookstore, and they were going on a tour across the country. And they were showing videos of people throwing Molotov cocktails. They were handing out printed things of the city and where all the corporate targets are, and where all the vital roads were that Republicans would need for the buses of delegates to get into the convention center. And I looked at that, and I was kind of concerned. I said, well, wait a minute. So I called the FBI. I said, you know, you're right. That's what they're doing. But it's actually a big deal because they're openly calling for shutting it down by any means necessary. That's a big deal. It's not saying we're going to protest you. It's we're gonna not allow you your right to assemble and to speak your mind because you're wrong, we're right, you know, because we say so. And that's not American at all. And I said, I want to work on this. And they said, well, we don't really want you to work on it. We just wanted your opinion on it. And I said, well, I really want to work on it. And they said, well, your identity might come out if you work on it because it's so political. You don't want to. And I was like, no, I really want to work on it. And lo and behold, all of my former leaders and mentors were involved in it, you know. And so here's what they did that was significant. They asked the groups to separate into three separate groups, okay? And this is very significant. There was red, green, and yellow. Now, the green group were just the moderate liberals who were not going to realize that they were being told what to do by the radical left. That was the 10,000 protesters who went with MoveOn.org, right? And the mainstream Democrats. But their movements were to be controlled by the leadership. Okay? So the yellow group was a group of people who were going to go in the roads and they were going to sit down across the roadways in mass, put their arms in PVC pipes, lock their chain themselves together so the police couldn't cut them out easily. It took longer. And they were going to sit in all the vital roads so the delegates couldn't come in to appoint John McCain and Sarah Palin. Which is kind of a serious, I think that's a serious civil rights violation, if you ask me, you know. And the FBI thought so, too, just to prevent something like that. But so the deal was that the yellow groups would go on the road and do that, then the leaders would get the mainstream liberals who didn't realize they were being duped, right, the green zone, and they would get them into the roadway. So once the police cleared that roadway out, they figured that that would give enough time for the yellow zone to lock down and get arrested. But if it didn't give enough time, then they had the red zone. And the red zone were the black masked anarchists who would come in and actually fight and attack the police and in order to give the yellow zone the time. So it was all one big coordinated effort, you know. And so that's what I worked. And sure enough, several different groups of people made Molotov cocktails and other bombs to try to hurt Republicans and cops. And they did that, and we busted them, and we stopped them. The convention happened. It didn't go without a hitch, but Americans were able to meet, and I felt honored to participate in that.
So that was a very brave Brandon Darby, and I spoke with Brandon Darby after the meeting, and he has said that he would come on the show sometime in the future, so I'm trying to set that up. He has that was just a short piece. Very scary piece, but he has a tremendous story to tell, and hope that I can get it all in an hour when he comes on. But for me, the main thing that came out of that, and talking about the Occupy whatever, and I've been chastised for calling them the Occupy whatever scumbags, so that matches OWS. I stopped doing that, but things have got so bad there that I'm going back to that, so I'm calling them Occupy whatever scumbags. He said that that whole thing about basically disrupting the Republican convention, all the organization that went into that was the same people who had disrupted the Seattle WTO meeting or G5 meeting that are also behind the Occupy whatever demonstrations. And you think those are grassroots and spontaneous and just happened? No. Soros and the people that work for him have been working on that for months and months, and that's really the story that he will tell. So I'm looking forward to getting him on the show. I think it will be a great guest, and like I said, he's got a great story to tell, and it will frighten you because it will and it comes back to my theme that I said at the beginning, right? Politics is an earnest business. Politics is a serious business, and the progressives have been treating it as such, and we've been asleep at the wheel. We've just been thinking, well, we can go our own merry way and everything will be okay. No, it won't. They're doing everything they can to disrupt, to fraud, as well as do the normal things that we would expect, but everything as well behind the scenes. And it's time we woke up, and it's time we started doing something about it. And some of the tools, as I said, that were handled at Choose Liberty 2012 were great tools to help us do that in a legal way. We don't need to be illegal, but we can be very clever and smart about it, right? Work smarter, not harder. So to make our get out the vote more effective, there is a site. Right now, it's primarily for Floridian voters. They haven't got the resources to expand it around the country, but you never know. There might be some possibilities. If enough of you get together, you might be able to do a lot of the work that they need to do for them. And it's called Liberty Linked, libertylinked.com. You can sign up there if you're in Florida, and you can sign up there if you're not in Florida, get information. It's based on something that started in Texas. And they had very good results there. You can read about it at libertylinked.com. So I'm not going to go in details, but basically what it says, getting out the vote, you know, a few months to just 2-3 months before the vote itself, we're already behind the curve. What the left has been doing is really starting even earlier, and arranging all sorts of social events, just getting to know people. And by getting to know people, you can get them over to your side, and then you can get them pointed in the right direction, and you can kind of get them, get their vote, and know that they're going to be going out. And then when it comes time to really go around and take the clipboard, as it were, and check off their name, say, are you going to vote? And, you know, have you got any questions about our candidate? Can we help you, et cetera? By then, you should already know them. It shouldn't be the first time that you meet people. And there's a whole thing of what you should do, becoming precinct captains, organizing social events, assigning people to do certain things, also training people to do poll watching, stuff like that, that you can find at libertylinked.com. So I encourage you to go there. And then there is a tool which you can also then find at, let's see, that one is politicalgravity.com. And as I mentioned, that's a tool which uses your smartphone and uses databases with geographic locations. And it has a lot of information about who voted. You can download, most of that information gets downloaded from the commissioner of votes in your county or in the state. You can get all that information, it gets loaded into their database, and then they can massage it, they can make lists, they can target, and you can also send people out to go and find out whether or not people are actually Republicans or not. So that's a very interesting tool as well, and you can find that at politicalgravity.com. Well, all of a sudden, we have reached the end of the show. Time flies when you're having fun. So I will say TTFN, ta-ta for now. I hope you enjoyed this. Go out, fight the good fight, and please join us next week. If you enjoyed it, please tell your friends, the more the merrier.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Patriot Come Lately Show. please take what you have learned and share it with friends and family. Better still, tell them about the show so they can listen too. Remember to support the advertisers on the show. It helps keep this show on the air, and I thank you for that. I'm looking forward to joining you on the next show. Until then, keep spreading our message. Goodbye, and God bless America.